to Carpenter Shop International Church. We build people. CSIC is a church whose mission is to love all people, win them to Christ, build them in discipleship, and send them out to fulfill their destiny. At CSIC, our core values are inclusion. We thrive on diversity. Everyone matters. It's exciting. Worship, discipleship, fellowship, evangelism, care. CSIC loves people, all people. Hashtag love win, build sin. Check us out on Facebook at Carpenter Shop International Church or on YouTube at CSIC Media. Or join us in person on Sundays at 10 a.m. or Wednesdays at 7 p.m.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Can we stand to our feet this morning and worship a great God? I know we just came from a weekend of Thanksgiving and being grateful for all the things that we have, but is anybody grateful to serve a risen Savior? Is anybody grateful to serve a holy God, a God who's greater? Oh no, that's good for the little things, but are we excited to serve a God who is great, a God who is mighty, a God who is awesome this morning? Amen.
Turn into wine, open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you, none like you. Oh, into darkness you shine, and out of the ashes we rise. There's no
stronger, you are higher than any other.
our God is for us, and if our God is for us, then nothing, then no one can stand against us. And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand against us? And if our God is for us,
church.
Sing, our God is, our God is.
Yeah.
Lord, you are higher. God, you are healer, awesome in power. One more time, we sing, our God is. Yes, Lord. Lord, you are. You are healing, awesome in power.
And so can we lift our hands to a great God? A God who goes before us. A God who's always with us. A God who will never be against us. Because if He is for us, no one can be against you. We're in the latter part of the year, obviously. We're on our way into a new year, a new chapter. And some of us have a doubt. Some of us may have a fear of what that's gonna look like. Some of us may have a fear of what our professions are gonna look like, what our finances are gonna look like, what our families are gonna look like. But can I encourage you this morning that you still serve a great God? Seasons change, years change, but He remains the same. He is faithful, He is consistent. Nothing about Him will differ. So whatever this new season is going to look like for you, I encourage you that you are reminded that our God is greater, our God is still stronger, and He still sits high and looks low, and that means He still has you in the palm of His hands.
And if our God is for you, then no one could ever stop you, no. If our God is for you, 'cause He's still for you, He's still for you. And if our God is for you,
or I think a better way to say it,
and since our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And since our God is with us, then what can stand against? And since our God is for us, then no one can stop us. And since our God is with us, no one can stand against. No one can stand against.
Not even you.
No one can stand against.
The will of God, the purpose of God.
No one can, no one, no one. Stand against. No one can stand against. No one can stand against.
Church, let's sing that part out one more time. Sing,
our God is, our God is, our God is greater. Our God is.
Yeah.
Our God is healer. Awesome in power. Our God, one more time, our God is. God, you are higher. Oh. Awesome in power, our God, our God.
Fighting battles, don't do it alone. God.
Please.
Come on, let's give God praise. Let's just give a shout to the Lord right now, even in this moment. This is how we fight our battles. We lift our praises to the King and we say, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, for who you are. We thank you that you fight for us, oh God. We thank you that, Lord, when you come, you rescue us and you set us free and you set our feet on a rock. We give you glory today and we lift up the mighty, precious, holy name of Jesus. Come on, this is how I fight my battles. Hallelujah. The praise. We give you all the glory. We worship you, Lord. Would you just take a moment right where you are and just begin to pray in the Spirit. Just open up your mouth and lift up your prayer to the Lord in your own way and just engage Him in this moment. Begin to set your faith on heaven that God is going to deliver you from that thing that you've been asking Him to set you free from. That God is more than able. Just right now, begin to open up your mouth and seek the Lord just in your own way. For conquering diseases today. Father, we thank you for victory over cancer today. Father, we thank you for victory over diabetes today. Father, we rebuke sickness and disease and we command it to leave right now in Jesus' name. You are Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals us. You are Jehovah Jireh, the one who provides. You are Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner, and when the enemy comes in like a flood, you will raise up a standard, a banner of victory against him. And so we declare victory today in the house. Come on, this is how I fight my battles.
This is how I fight my battles.
Hallelujah.
This is how I
One more time. This is how I fight my battles. Sing it. Jesus, we thank you for fighting our battles today. We thank you for the opportunity to worship you, and we bless you, and we ask you to continue to move throughout the rest of the service. And in Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Come on, can we give God a big hand of praise? Come on, lift up a shout to the Lord before you sit down. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we are so glad that you've joined us at Carpenter Shop International Church today. Are you glad to be among the assembly of the believers? And if this is your first time joining us, I'd like to give you a special welcome and invite you to meet us in the foyer after the service at the Welcome Center so that we can give you a gift and get to know you personally. We have a video that we're going to show you at this time, and so we're going to go ahead and let that play.
My name is Rico Anthony. Worship Director at Carpenter Shop International Church. I'm just here to invite you to the sing-along that's happening on December the 10th, 2023. It's going to be at 5 p.m. I want you to make sure that you invite everybody in your family. We're going to have a great time. We're going to be singing. We're going to be dancing. We're going to be worshiping. This is an event that you do not want to miss. We're going to be featuring Corey Balance Jr., Pastor Anoli Hall and family, Burke T. County Sheriff Tyrone Ruffin, Rodney Bullock, the CSIC Kids, Darrell Sessoms, the CSIC Worship Team, Kelvin Nixon, Kaija Carter, Aubrey Lindsay, Noah Knowles, Holly Taylor, Lucas Ireland, Alasia Peartree, Brittany Evans, and the CSIC Youth Dance Team. Dress comfortably. Can't wait to see you guys there. We're gonna enjoy this night of worship together, lifting up the name of Jesus. Can't wait to see you.
Hey guys, just a follow-up to Rico's invitation to join us here on December the 10th. At Carpenter Shop International Church for our Christmas sing-along. I'm excited to come together with you on that night for fellowship, for worship, for a time of connection together as we move into the holiday season. I'm seated in the sanctuary, which I've had a privilege of being the pastor here for the last 32 years. The pews I'm sitting on were placed here in the 70s when this building was erected for the purpose of worshiping God. And we have a vision to change these pews to wonderful, comfortable, theatrical seats right here in the year 2024. I want to invite you to come prepared that night to worship the Lord, to give honor and glory to His name, to fellowship with the saints, and also to be prepared to give a special offering as we look toward renovation of this sanctuary, the provision of brand new seating. And we're excited about that. Well, seats are $230 a piece. If you do the math, it's a great gift for Christmas, a great way to remember your King, Jesus Christ, as we do our best to fulfill His mission to touch this area and this region with a gospel message. God bless you all. Merry Christmas.
Good morning, ladies. My name is Brenda Adams, and I want to take a moment just to invite you to an event we have coming up. It'll be the Ladies' Christmas Gala, December the 2nd at 6 o'clock in the Family Life Center. I'm new here, and I'm looking forward to getting to know and meet each one of you. I'm particularly excited about our gift exchange. This gift will not be wrapped in pretty Christmas paper or have red ribbons on it, but this gift was purchased at Calvary by our Lord and Savior. We're going to have a time where we can bring Him our worries, our concerns, anything that causes us to pause. And we're going to bring that to Him. In exchange, He's going to give us Himself. He is the Prince of Peace, and He will be there to receive the things that we're concerned about. And He, in exchange, will give us His peace, His presence, and His power to work in our lives. Amen. He is going to bless our time together, and it's going to be a wonderful time to get prepared for 2020. deep sense of peace from God. So I look forward to seeing you December the 2nd at 6 o'clock at the Family Life Center for the Ladies Christmas Gala. God bless you.
All right, can we give God praise? So we have a lot of fun things happening. Make sure you put it on your calendar now to come out for the Christmas sing-along and for the women's gala. And at this time, we're going to continue to worship the Lord with our tithes and our offerings. There are several ways to give. You can do so on our My Church app. You can do so using the QR code. Or if you're giving by cash or check, you can drop your offering in the buckets. Make sure to include your email in the memo line. And you saw the video about the chairs, and we have several renovations that are happening around the church. If you'd like to give to that today, make sure you mark that in the memo on your check. There's also a designation for that. If you're giving online, scroll down and just click on renovations. You can make your way forward. God bless you as you give and as you sow into the kingdom of God.
And what he did for me. Well, that was last Sunday night for me. And that wasn't even our largest crowd. We were having church 5 nights back to back of just what you saw right there. What an awesome, awesome time I have had. Jesus said that the fields were white unto harvest. And they are. All across the world, I tell you, they are. It was very exciting. I have just a couple two or three little testimonies I want to share about healings and that we saw. On Thursday night, there was a man who showed up in our meeting, and he came forward in the time for prayer for healing. And he had left the hospital where his sister had died 3 hours earlier and got in that prayer line. And then he came up and said, while he was there praying and believing God, the hospital called and said his sister lives. My driver, who drove me all across Lomé, Togo, he was on the platform when his mother and his sister came forward to testify about their healings. Surprised to see them up there. Our interpreter was interpreting during one of the healing testimony sessions. And he looks up and he sees his mother in line. And he mouths to her, why are you here? And she said, she pointed to her eye and she said, I can see. She had been blind all of her life in one eye and received a healing. So many more that you just lose count of what's occurring. Thousands and thousands of people showed up every night. Thousands and thousands of salvations. And thousands of miracles. God is moving. We are a part of something that is extraordinary. There's a movement going on around the world. And one day we will see that here. Amen. Give God praise.
Praise the Lord, Pastor Mike. Thank you for the work of ministry and mission that you do all over the earth. 2024 is going to be an incredible year for Pastor Mike. He's got a lot in the docket planned for 2024. February 5th, a church that you've already paid for is going to be built in Swaziland, and 10 of our guys from this church will jump on the plane, and together they will go and accomplish that and have ministry opportunities every night. The Aiden and the Keaton home is almost paid for. We're at over $53,000. Come on, y'all, give the Lord praise. Almost paid for. And that will be developing in the year 2024. It's an incredible thing to leave a footprint outside of your own Jerusalem. This is your Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the Bible says where? To the uttermost parts of the earth. You've left a footprint in Pakistan. I want to share with you a video that a pastor friend of mine did on his end. Let me just tell you something. What you see in this video is nothing of our doing, okay? The only thing we did was sent the funds to pay for a water well to be dug in a community that was walking 2.5 to 3 miles every day to get clean water. They asked us, they said, do you mind if we name this the CSIC well? I said, you name it whatever you want to. They said, well, we want to get some t-shirts printed. He's telling me, man, people are saying in that community, where do you go to church? I go to CSIC, okay? Take a look at what's going on in Pakistan, would you?
Greetings in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. This is Pastor Shabazz Fakir. Dear friend and partner, right now I'm on the highway and I'm going to install the clean water hand pump, Imperial Sim, and I thank Pastor Wallace and his ministry. May God bless you all. Right now I'm here at this village named by Dando Aliyar Lam Hussain Village. Dear friend and partners, I tell about this village one thing. They don't have a clean and fresh water here. Here are dirty and mud water, but do your health and sport today be able to install a clean and fresh water here. So may God bless you, Pastor Wallace and his ministry. God bless you, Pastor Wallace, for this clean water hand pump install here. God bless you, and God bless CSIC. All are very happy. Hallelujah! In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, right now I'm here at a village. I am so happy to be installed a clean and fresh water here. This is the first clean hand water pump installed with you and your ministry. Please, aye zordar taliya Pastor Wallace ke liye. Hallelujah!
Okay. If you are people of God, lekin aap khuda ke log hain, you don't pay attention. Lekin aapne fikar nahi karni. Because God with you every time.
Pastor Wallace and his ministry.
और मैं पास्टर वालेस का और उनकी मिनिस्ट्री का दिल से शुक्रगुजार हूँ.
That he stand with us.
और वो हमारे साथ खड़े हुए.
And we install here water hand pump.
ताकि यहाँ पर इस गांव में clean hand water pump install करवाया जाए.
And give the food.
और आपको खाना खिलाया जाए.
And clapping for CSIC ministry.
ये देखिए क्या बोलता है CSIC ministry के लिए जोरदार clapping.
Has clean water and food ever been an issue for you? Come on. Wow. Such an incredible thing to be in a community. And I don't know if you saw where they were meeting or not, but that they were meeting under a tree. They don't have a church. They meet under that tree every week. And it's just a wonderful opportunity to be able to love on people who are so much less fortunate than we ourselves are. Thank you for being a strong, strong missions giving church. You know, the wonderful thing is I've had people to contact me. Pastors have said, hey, somebody told me that you guys put a well in Pakistan. I said, we did. And somebody told me that you freed families who were in slavery. Just this past week, I had a pastor to call me and say, hey, can you help me do that as well? Our church wants to do something for Christmas. So give God praise that multiplies. Amen. That multiplies. Ladies, don't forget to sign up today. Today's an important day. After the service, if you would, go to the Welcome Center. Somebody will be there to help you to sign up for the gala event. We need the numbers early in this week so we know exactly how to plan for your meal on Saturday the 2nd. Amen. So make sure you see Pastor Joy or Julie or someone in the hallway at the close of the service. Also, December the 13th. Is a Christmas social gathering for us at the church. We always do this on a Wednesday night before Christmas. That'll be on the 13th of December in the Family Life Center, where you can bring all your special goodies, and I always call them homemade treats. Make sure you peel the food line label off before you walk in the door if you didn't do that, okay? Praise God. Praise the Lord. So the gala And also, we also every year we bless our seniors who are at home and unable to get out of their home and travel to their home every year. They always enjoy that, so you can help us do that as well. If you have something you'd like to give, just remember the number 6, okay? Just do it in 6. 6 boxes of tissues, 6 packs of snack pack pudding, 6 packages of nabs, whatever you choose to do. We'll put those items together and make a tremendous basket or box for every one of those. So we appreciate your help with that. You can bring it to the church anytime, put it in the main hallway. Praise God. Let's pray together this morning. Ask God's help as we dive into another topic concerning Israel and end time truths. Father, in Jesus' name, mighty and strong, we come before you today with a deep sense of gratitude. Thank you, God, for the mission in Africa. Thank you for night after night after night consecutively of thousands upon thousands of souls being blessed, saved, healed, and delivered. Thank you, Lord, for what you have planned for Pastor Mike and his team, those who will assist him in 24. Father, we pray for more than enough to do the work which you've assigned to his hands. And Lord, thank you for the nation of Pakistan and how you've connected us and we're able to partner with them to bring fresh water and food. And Lord, help us, guide us, lead us to lead other families out of the bondage of slavery. For this we give you praise. Be with us today as we look into your word. Would you open our hearts, our mind, our spirit? I pray for that person today who's not ready for heaven. I pray that today will be the day of salvation for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give the Lord praise today, would you? Israel and end time truths. Today we want to talk about the millennial reign of Christ. I've enjoyed doing my best these past several weeks. I've enjoyed doing my best to keep you informed and inspired concerning biblical events. Somebody say biblical events. Prophetic words that some of them have come to pass, some of them are yet to come to pass. This is where we find ourselves as Christ followers today, looking and listening. Just recently, I had a couple of conversations with people that were a little alarming to me. One of them was this. Someone said to me, well, our church is doing a study on the book of Revelation, which is that's a long and enduring process. We've done it here about 5 times in my 32 years. Sometimes it took us as long as 9 months to a year to dive into Revelation. She said, well, the pastor got to chapter 3 and he stopped. And he said, we're not going to be going any farther than chapter 3. I would encourage you to read Revelation and ask the Lord to help you, because frankly, I'm not comfortable, you know, dividing that word all the way through to the end of the book. What a disappointment. I mean, that's sad. I would never reveal that church or reveal that pastor, definitely, but that's the feeling that a lot of people have. That's the feeling that I had for a long time. Chapter 1, 2, and 3, it's okay. But once you get to chapter 4 and the door opens and he says, come up here, then you have a struggle trying to identify, how do I interpret Revelation? Someone said to me recently also that they were so excited. They were so excited because their pastor was in the book of Revelation, and as soon as the Israel issues started to hit the news, he changed the course and went to another study. This is not what the church needs. The church needs people who will stand up and do their very best to rightly divide the word of God and to ask the Holy Spirit's help. What I've tried to do in the last several weeks, and it's almost like a tapestry because I'm overlapping each week, so that you will get it. I know, you know, and I'm not an expert on this by any means, but I'm asking God to help me. So we want to talk today about Israel and end time events, and specifically end up talking about the millennial reign of Christ. In recent weeks, we talked about the gathering of the Jewish people from the nations unto their own homeland. Ezekiel spoke about life coming back to those bones. And I said to you before, and I'll say it again, I've heard preachers preach the valley of dry bones and butcher that text. Totally against what that text means. That text means that prophetically God was going to take the Jewish people who were scattered. We call it the diaspora in theological circles. The diaspora, the scattering, the dispersion, if you will, of people all over the earth who had fled for fear, who had fled for their own safety. And so there was a time that Ezekiel prophesied that these bones would come back together, and God enabled Israel to return to her homeland. And the beautiful picture of this dispersed people coming together, bone to bone, it was prophesied, it was experienced according to the words of Ezekiel. Secondly, Isaiah prophesied that a nation would be born in a day. In the book of Isaiah, a nation would be born in a day. Guess what? It happened May the 15th, 1948. Little Dot Israel became a nation all her own. Can you give the Lord praise on that? A nation that has struggled. A nation that is struggling today. Thirdly, and last week, we spoke of a convergence, a synergy, if you will, of six nations that are listed in the Bible, in the book of Ezekiel, that would come together, that Ezekiel prophesied that a leader would emerge, and the leader would be called, his name would be Gog. He would be a Gog. He would be a czar. He would be an emperor-type man, a person of influence who would begin this convergence in the land of Magog. You've seen those words, Gog and Magog. You probably scratch your head and say, man, what in the world does that mean? Gog and Magog. Gog was his leadership position. He was an emperor of type. And Magog is the land in which he dwelled, which is today is Russia. Okay? And that they together would come against God's people. They would come against God's people. This alliance would be led by Russia. Second in line in support would be the nation of Iran, who up until later years, recent years, here was recognized as a nation, what? Persia. But those two would be leading the charge of this convergence, which is the epitome of an attack on Israel that is seen in the last days. Better yet, not just an attack on Israel, but an attack on God Almighty. It is really the forces of good versus the forces of evil. Again, we've stated repeatedly the why. I say it every week here in this series because I want you to know when someone asks you, well, why the attack on Israel? Because Israel gave us what? Two very important things. Israel gave us the Hebrew Bible, and Israel gave us the Messiah, Jesus Christ. So why is the target Israel? Because Israel produced that for us in God's providence. He tapped the shoulder of a man named Abraham and said, listen, I want you to get out of this land, which I'll show you. Abraham wasn't even serving God. But God did incredible things, and from that lineage comes the Messiah. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, right down the line. And so this convergence, the fulfillment of it, puts us at the very brink of the catching away. I love the recent book. I don't have it yet. I love the title of it. Dr. David Jeremiah has a fascinating series going on right now called The Great What? The Great Disappearance. My wife said this week, she said, I saw that book and I started to buy it for you. Don't start to buy it. Buy it, okay? Buy it. She's going to sit there right now and go to Amazon and buy me one, I'm sure. The Great Disappearance. And I haven't had the occasion to listen to all of Dr. Jeremiah's teaching, but what an incredible reference. A respected man in the earth today that is teaching about time-sensitive issues, what the church is facing right now, the Great Disappearance. You know, it's an amazing opportunity to look at Scripture. What does Scripture say about it? Well, it tells us rapture's not in the Bible, but the idea, the catching away is. Listen to what it says. For the Lord himself, 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. This is not the return of Christ, okay? He's not coming to earth at this time. Can I just be honest with you? For many years, I thought this was the return of Jesus. I did. How many of you know what I'm talking about? I thought this was the return when the rapture takes place. It's not. He's not coming back. He's only coming down to meet us in the air. We meet him in the air. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord. Where? In the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. I love what Paul says at the closing of that text in the Bible. He says, man, comfort ye one another with these words. I've said it so many times at a funeral. Comfort ye one another with these words. Only the redeemed of the Lord will make this catching away. Only the ready, only the prepared, those who've placed their faith and their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and his finished work on the cross of Calvary. After the rapture, as the church is snatched away, then is the beginning. Somebody say beginning. Then is the beginning. After rapture, the beginning of the most horrific time that the earth has ever known. God has taken the church away because God has not appointed the church, his children, unto his wrath. So he snatched the church away. The most horrific time the earth has ever known, the great tribulation, biblically called the time of Jacob's trouble, the 7 years of wrath of God being poured out on the earth. Note, at the end of this 7 years of tribulation, this is when Jesus Christ returns, okay? And at his return, or what is called the second coming of Christ, is not like his first coming. Let me say that one more time. His second coming is nothing like his first coming, because in just a few weeks, you'll be hearing this song, "Away in a manger, no crib for a bed." Okay? Because the little Lord Jesus came in a very meek and a mild manner. Here we go. At his first coming, but his second coming will not be meek. His second coming will not be lowly. No, it's not. Jesus will return to this earth with fire in his eyes. He will set his foot down on the Mount of Olives in Zechariah chapter 14, and the prophetic word there will come to pass. He will come to the earth riding on a white horse. There was a great revival that took place several years ago in Pensacola, Florida, that began on Father's Day and ran consecutively for 5 years. The Pensacola Revival. Read about it. The Brownsville Revival. For 5 consecutive years, that revival ran night after night after night. Revival that hit Florida in such a way that hotels were being built. New highways were constructed. Restaurants, businesses began to spring up in an area. Why? Because revival changes the course of everything. John Kilpatrick, who stood on this platform one time and preached, was the pastor of that church. Revival can take place anywhere, friends. Revival can take place and will take place when hearts will become concentrated on the work of God, the move of the Holy Spirit, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the infilling of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When people get hungry, they will come to serve the Lord with gladness. Isn't it amazing that a little drop of rain can keep folk in the bed today? It's just a shame. Could you look on the video just a few moments ago where Pastor Mike said every night thousands came, thousands walked. I just preached in Pakistan several weeks ago, 40,000 people. Do you know how many cars were on the parking lot at that meeting of 40,000 people where I was there? Not a single car. Nobody drove. Everybody walked. There were buses that dropped people off and later came back to pick them up. But you couldn't have gotten cars down that highway if you wanted to. You could choose a highway in Hertford County, a woods path, a logging path, would be better, I promise you, than the path we had to go down to get to the revival meeting. And they walked by the thousands to get there. That's not the hunger that we see in America. People say, well, why in the world do you keep going out of the country? Hunger is an amazing thing, and hunger, when you see that, produces hunger in you as well. Amen? There are people today that are hungry for the things of God, and there are people that will get sidetracked and get your eyes off of the very purposes of God and start to look to other things. God help the church today. God help the church today. So his second coming is not meek, it's not lowly. No, it's not. He returns with fire in his eyes. And in that Brownsville revival, even songs were produced. There were songs produced. Rico, you know what I'm talking about. There was one that said he's got fire in his eyes because he's coming back. They were singing songs about the expectancy of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Brownsville revival produced spirit-anointed songs that the church still sings today. When revival takes place, man, things happen. The Bible says Jesus will come to earth riding on a white horse, and he will make war with all the nations. Just a moment ago, I talked to you about that convergence that we preached about last week. And Jesus will come at that time. He will make war with all the nations of the earth who have joined this convergence, and he will defeat them in the battle of all battles, the battle of Armageddon that John spoke of. Only one time in the New Testament is it mentioned, Revelation 16. The battle begins in Jerusalem. I'm going to show you the place where it begins in just a moment. But it ends in the valley of Megiddo, where for miles and miles, the Bible says blood will be up to the horse's bridle. 4 or 5 feet deep, the blood of human beings will be literally a river of blood from all of the bloodshed, all of the human lives that were lost. The prophet Ezekiel is given the details of what happens at this particular time at earth. Let's look at Ezekiel chapter 43, verses 1 to 5. Remember, Ezekiel is getting this information, here we go, 2,500 years ago. Mid-century, 6 BC, 6 years before Jesus was born, Ezekiel's getting this word. Are you with me here? Don't choke on the fire hose, okay? It's a lot of information. I understand that. That's why week after week I'm trying to do some overlapping, trying to say something again so that you can hopefully get it resolved in your mind and at least go back and study this. Then the Bible says in Ezekiel 43, 1 to 5, then the man brought me to the gate where? Facing east. Remember that. And I saw the glory of God of Israel coming from the east. His voice, the voice of the Lord was like the sound of roar of rushing waters, and the land was radiant with his glory. The vision I saw was like the vision I had seen when he came to destroy the city, and like the visions I had seen by the Kabar River. And I fell, Ezekiel says, face down. The glory of the Lord entered the temple through the gate facing east. Then the Spirit lifted me up and brought me into the inner court, and the glory of the Lord, here it goes, filled the temple. The glory of the Lord filled the temple. Ezekiel was not the only one. He was not the only one who God spoke to concerning this. God had already spoken to that blessed shepherd boy David, who would be the king of Israel, as he recorded these words in Psalm 24. Listen to them. Verses 1 to 10. The earth is the Lord's. You've read this passage many times, probably never thought about Jesus coming again as you read this. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. It's the Lord's, for he founded it on the seas and established it on the waters. Who may ascend to the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart. I just said a moment ago, the only ones that are going are the ready. The only ones that are going are the prepared. It's the one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god. They will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God their Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, verse 7, you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory, here's a prophetic word about Jesus, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle, that the King of glory may come in. Lift up your heads, you gates, lift him up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is he, this King of glory? The Lord Almighty, he is the King of glory. God, come on, give him praise, y'all. He's the King of glory. David sees this in his day in the spirit. Ezekiel had seen the glory of the Lord depart from the temple. Remember that? And I think it's Ezekiel chapter number 10. He had seen the glory of the Lord depart the temple as a result of people turning from God, as a result of people worshiping idols. And in other words, the sin of the people had driven the presence of God from the temple. Ezekiel had written of this in chapter 10 of his prophetic words. But David in the spirit sees the time when the glory of the Lord returns to the temple of the Lord. He has seen the Lord Almighty. He's seen Jesus Christ himself return to Jerusalem and to rule and to reign from the temple of God. I want you to see this wall behind me today. Take a look at this beautiful shot. Pastor Joy can tell you, as many times as I've been to Israel, this November would have been 15 for me. If I could go to Israel and just pick one spot that I would just like to hang out with no agenda, nothing to do, it would be right here. Because when you look at this picture, as you're looking at it, you're looking very up close to the eastern gate. This is the eastern gate of the walls of the city of Jerusalem. I want you to look over the, just over the back there. And how many of you see that little gold dome just kind of like peeping around, you know? Let me tell you something. King Hussein of the nation of Jordan, that's 24 karat gold, by the way, okay? Some of you got that on your hands. It's a little softer gold. 24 karat gold. His family, not the nation of Jordan, King Hussein's family paid the money to put the top on that building. The nation of Jordan. What's underneath that gold? There's a rock under there. Muslims say that it's the rock that Muhammad the prophet ascended to the heavens from. But the Bible teaches us that beneath that dome is a stone that we call the foundation stone. This will mess your theology up, especially some of you preachers now. Listen here. This is the foundation stone. What does that mean? It means that God Almighty created everything he created from this spot. And the Lord said, let it be. And there it was. It's the rock where Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice. And the Lord prepared a ram in the thicket. It's Mount Moriah. It's the Temple Mount. It's that place where you long to get into the Holy of Holies, into the presence of God. It represents the very presence of God. This is a beautiful picture. It's taken from the west side. It's taken from the Garden of Gethsemane. It's taken from the favorite spot of Jesus. I've said this to you scores of times. Listen to it one more time. It's as if you're standing in a hosky. And every day, Jesus stayed over in Pilesville. Are you with me? Just a couple of miles, 3 or 4 miles outside of town. Jesus stayed over beyond Ahoski in a little community called Pilesville. I'm trying to make it real for you. He walked every day where? Right there. He walked in that temple every day. He walked through that gate. He went to the temple. He went to the temple every day. And then he would walk back home. And on his way back home, home for him was the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And on his way, he would stop at the Garden of Gethsemane. If you ever make a visit to it, you'll understand why. It's a beautiful, peaceful place. The beautiful slopes of those mountains are filled with olive trees. A beautiful place. It's the place where he agonized, where the Bible says drops of blood fell to the ground. It's the place where he said, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. It's the place of real personal, up close personal life of Jesus is told about in the Bible. It's interesting that this is the route. When Jesus comes back again, he comes back and the Bible says clearly that he's going to enter through the eastern gate. Now look at the gate. The gate is covered up. You see the gate, the top of it has the beautiful arches. If you go around the city of Jerusalem, which is not very large, they have many other gates. They have the Damascus Gate, the Lion's Gate, Herod's Gate, the Dung Gate, the Zion Gate, the Jaffa Gate. All of the gates around that city are open and freely. People just in and out of those gates every day. But this gate, the one that is pictured on the Eastern Gate wall, is closed up. What happened? Why is it closed up? Well, I'll tell you why it's closed up. It's closed up because an Ottoman, a Turkish man, by the name of Suleiman, really literally made a defensive move. Suleiman knew the Jewish scriptures. Suleiman knew what Zechariah 14:4 says. Suleiman knew what Ezekiel had prophesied. And he ordered them permanently walled up. The year was 1581. He was a Muslim leader and he knew the Jewish scriptures. He knew that Zechariah 14:4 said, on that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, and it will split in two from east to west, forming a great valley with half of the mountain moving north and half of the mountain moving south. Suleiman knew all of these things, and so he devised a plan that between cement and cemetery, he would kind of stop the Lord Jesus from coming back through the Eastern Gate. Because at the base of this Eastern Gate entrance, look around the edge of it. What do you see? You see headstones. This is a graveyard. And Suleiman knew that a priest would never defy himself by stepping on a grave. So he was going to fill the entranceway up with graves, human bodies buried in the ground, so that the great high priest Jesus himself wouldn't come back through there. But can I just tell you something? When the earthquake takes place, Jesus is going to level every bit of this cement right here, every bit of these rocks, okay? He's going to knock it all down, okay? And he's certainly going to knock down that mosque back there behind it. He's going to level everything because you know what? He's going to have his way. So his first coming was very meek and very lowly, away in a manger, right? But his second coming, his return, is going to be very filled with the fire of God. And God's going to have his way. It's an amazing thing. Let's talk about the temples for just a few moments. Four temples. Just solidify that in your mind. Four temples. You say, Pastor, what do you mean four temples? Well, the first temple was built by Solomon in the 900s BC. It would stand for about 500 years until 586 BC. King Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians destroyed that temple. After the Jews were released from the captivity that they had been under when they destroyed Jerusalem, the Lord graciously raised up, our women just went through this study, the Lord graciously raised up Ezra and Nehemiah. And what did they start to do? They started to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And Herod comes along and centuries later and reconstructs this temple. And this temple would be the one that Jesus would visit every day. This one that Herod built, that would be the temple that Jesus would enjoy. That would be the temple that Jesus would speak at and proclaim the truths of God that every day. That would be the temple. And as it stands today, it was destroyed in AD 70 by who? By the Romans in AD 70. Here we are in 2023, but if you back up to the year 70, that's when the Romans come in and totally destroy the temple of God. And it is at it as it is today, it was then when it was destroyed in AD 70. Nothing. There is no temple there today. There is no temple there today. Only the Temple Mount. Only the place where it'll be rebuilt. There's no temple. So the first temple, the Solomon Temple. The second temple, the Ezra, Nehemiah doing their work and making way for King Herod, the one that was destroyed in AD 70. The third temple, here we go. The third temple, where will that come from, Pastor? The third temple will be built during the what? The tribulation. Okay? Because this great charismatic leader, will lead them. And he will lead them down the path of, hey, we can all get along here. The blending together. All the Muslims, all the Jews, all the Gentiles. We can all share this. We're going to build a temple here. We can all share this. But here's what happens in the middle of the tribulation. He steps out there and does something crazy. He steps out there and declares to them that he's who? He's God. Amen? Daniel chapter 9, I believe it is. Daniel chapter 9. Verse 27, he will confirm a covenant for 1:7 in the middle of the seven. He will put an end to sacrifice and offering. And at the temple, he will set up, here we go, an abomination that causes desolation until the end that is decreed is poured out on him. The Antichrist comes on the scene and declares that he is God himself. It's then that the people know they've been deceived by the Antichrist, and the conclusion of the 7 years of tribulation, the prophesied earthquake will level this third temple. This is the third temple. As Christ on his white horses with the armies of heaven on white horses will come, and Armageddon will be accomplished, and Armageddon will be completed, what we talked about last week, and Jesus Christ will establish and lead his new temple in Jerusalem. He will lead the world, here we go, for 1,000 years of what? Peace. Can you imagine 1,000 years of peace, the millennial reign of Christ on the earth? Ezekiel describes this 1,000-year period. If you, for some good reading, you should read Ezekiel chapter 40 all the way through chapter 48. And you will get descriptions of what it will be like during that millennial reign of Christ. Revelation 20 verse 6 says this, we will be priests of God. He's talking about us now. We will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. Ezekiel gives not a general, but a more specific detail. Look at what he says in Ezekiel 44, verses 15 and 16. He gets a little more specific, which eliminates some of us, and I'll tell you why. He says, but the Levitical priests who are descendants of Zadok. Keep that in mind. It's the Levitical line that God protects. He uses who? The Jewish people who are converted. He uses them as priests who guarded my sanctuary when the Israelites went astray from me, or to come near to minister before me. They are to stand before me to do what? Listen now. In the 1,000 years of peace, they are to stand before me and do what? Offer sacrifices. Wait a minute. You mean, Pastor, sacrifices are coming back? Yes, they're coming back. Some of you scratch your head and say, what? Wait a minute. Jesus died for us. Yes. Why do you take communion? You take communion because you remind yourself of the great sacrifice that he made on the cross of Calvary. You take a little bit of juice, you take a little bit of bread, and for you it is a looking back. All of the years that the Jews have done these sacrifices many, many years ago, where were they looking? They weren't looking backward. They were looking forward. They wanted their sins covered. They're still looking for Messiah. They're still looking for him today. But they did this as a sense of looking forward. But when the sacrifices are restored to the temple, then the Jews will be looking back, okay? Now, too, they will be looking back. So the restoration of sacrifices is somewhat of a type, here we go, of communion for them. Are you getting this? Now, this is all taking place where? Jerusalem. What you say, well, you know, I thought we were going to rule and reign with him on the earth, Pastor. You are, but you're not going to do it in Jerusalem. Where are you going to do it? Where are you going to be? You don't know where you're going to be? Don't you live in North Carolina? What is his legislative area? What is his judicial area? The earth. Okay? So listen, it's only the size of the state of New Jersey. God's not going to pack us all in Israel. You're going to live on the earth, okay? And so we will rule and reign with him. What does that mean? We don't need any government. There'll be no Washington, D.C., praise God, okay? There'll be no Democrats, no Republicans. Amen? Because Jesus Christ is doing the ruling, and we are helping him. So what will we be doing? Well, some of you may be mayors, some of you may be governors, and everything comes from headquarters. Everything comes from Jerusalem, okay? Everything comes. Hey, I got an email today from Jesus and his staff, okay? Are you getting this? Are you getting what I'm saying here? 1,000 years of peace. 1,000 years with no devil. Come on, I don't think y'all are getting this yet, okay? 1,000 years with no devil. Okay? Now, will there be some sin on the earth? Come on, answer. Yes, there'll be sin on the earth. People will still have a nature to do wrong. Okay? Some of them will still have a nature to do wrong. There's some people that will be on the earth that survived the tribulation. They never had Jesus Christ dying for their salvation. They're going to be on the earth, friends. There'll be people that will be building houses, working jobs. See, this is just 1,000 years of peace on the earth. Satan is where? He's bound up. I can hear some of y'all right now when at the end, the next chapter in the story, when Satan is loosed out for a season, I can hear some of y'all, who let the dogs out? Boom, boom, boom. No, that's probably not the best song to be singing for that. Why'd you let him out? I have no idea, except for what the Bible says. The Lord will let him out to let him go out and just see if he can deceive the nations one more time. Okay? And then at the end of that, what happens? Satan is thrown into the lake of fire. Then we finally get to the what? The new heavens and the new earth wherein dwells righteousness. Not just 1,000 years for eternity. Okay? Now, how many of y'all can stand up and explain that in 30 minutes? Come on, let me see your hand, okay? Listen, this is why every week I'm trying to just overlap, lay over a little bit here, a little bit there, trying to give it to you in bite-sized pieces. So why, Pastor, is is there going to be sacrifices again? If you study what Ezekiel writes in chapters 40 to 48, you'll realize that even the Holy of Holies is different now. No curtain, no table of showbread, no gold, no silver. Okay? Read it. It's going to be all different than what it was, because Jesus is on his throne in Jerusalem. He's got a new temple there. He's leading the world from Jerusalem. And can you imagine what it will be like? We say, who's the president? Well, you know, our president is Barack Obama. Our president is Donald Trump. Our president's Joe Biden. No, no. Who's the president? Jesus Christ. He's the president, okay? Come on. Living on an earth with no devil. And who's the president? Who's in charge? Jesus Christ. Okay? God has a plan for us, friends. He has a plan for us. And what I want you to do is try to somehow let your... I know our minds are finite. Our minds are limited. But somehow I want you to try to be able to identify with God's plan. You don't want to miss the rapture, the catching away. Because if you go through tribulation, you can get saved in the tribulation. You can. But man, the earth has not seen the hell that will be released on this earth like it will be in the great tribulation. It's called the great what? Tribulation, okay? It's the great tribulation, the most horrific times. Hailstones at one point will, half of humanity will be destroyed. Hailstones weighing a talent. How much does the talent weigh? 100 pounds. Hailstones coming down. I've seen people put on Facebook, we had hail the size of a quarter in our yard. You ain't seen nothing until God comes down with some hailstone 100 pounds. Come on. The same God that made the golf ball size hail is the same God that will make that big hail. Okay? So what we want to do is be ready. We want to be prepared. We want to be ready to meet the Lord. We'll rule and reign with him. You know, I have no idea what I'll be doing. You have no idea what you'll be doing. But there'll be an earth, and you're not just planted somewhere just to say, well, there's nothing to do. Since Jesus became the king, we've got nothing to do. No, no, no. You got plenty to do. What were they going to do in the Garden of Eden when he placed Adam and Eve in there? He said, listen, you got all this, guys. Enjoy it. Enjoy the fruits that I've given you. Enjoy taking care of the garden. You don't have to worry about any thorns, no poison ivy, nothing like that. That stuff came in after the sin came in. Because God said to Adam, listen, man, this is what's coming to you. Thorns and thistles are going to be a part of your life. All of a sudden, the briars started to grow, okay? I don't know how all that's to be explained. But I know this, God had a wonderful plan of paradise level living for his children. And he's going to give us a taste of it in that period of time when the battle of Armageddon is over and Jesus Christ on the white horse comes back with all those who've gone before and he rules and reigns in righteousness. Righteousness will be our characteristic. Look at what Isaiah says in chapter 11. Let me just give you a taste of some of it. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together. And the little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together. And the lion will eat straw like the ox. He's no longer going to have prey where he goes out and destroys animals. The infant. You know what your children are going to be doing? Playing with snakes. Okay? The infant will be where? In the cobra's den. Okay? How many of y'all got a kid that wanted to buy a snake so bad and you wouldn't let them do it? One day, guess what? They're going to play in the cobra's den. And the young child will put its hand in the viper's nest, and it will not strike him. Oh, what a beautiful snake you have. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse, Jesus himself, will stand as a banner for the people. The nations will rally. Can you imagine every nation in the, under the heavens rallying to hail King Jesus? And his resting place will be glorious. Life will change. Isaiah prophesied this. He said it will be a time of unprecedented peace. We will even live longer. Check this out. Isaiah 65, verse 20. Never again will there be in it an infant who lives only a few days. When people have babies, guess what? They'll live. No more miscarriages. No more something happened, infant crib death syndrome. Nothing like that. Or an old man who does not live out his years. The one who dies, check this out, the one who dies at 100 will be thought to be a mere child. How old are you? 100? Oh, you're just a baby. Okay. All right. I see some of our seniors getting excited. Okay. The one who fails to reach 100 will be considered accursed. This is not the new heaven and the new earth we're talking about here. This is the 1,000 years of peace. Revelation 20 verse 2 says that Satan is bound for 1,000 years, and then God will loose him, as I said earlier, one more time to go out and deceive the nations. There's so much we could talk about in a series like this, message after message after message. But the important thing today is that every time we talk about things like this, I was at a gathering last night and just sat down at the table. Hey, Pastor Wallace, can I ask you something? Yeah, what you got? What do you think about all this stuff going on with Israel? Okay, guess what? People are going to be asking you, what are your thoughts about this? And well, you might have to say, well, my pastor says, say what you got to say, but get your resourcing from the Bible, okay? So much we could talk about. A lot has to happen. This convergence as we see it right now. I don't understand America. I really don't. I don't understand why 70 some times we've been struck by other nations and other lands. And we're not responding. I don't get that. I don't get why we're not responding. 70 some times you've bombed us. One day, if we don't soon do something, one day it's going to be, well, so and so many Americans were killed today. Why are we not doing anything? Just watching the bombs come in. Boom. Why are we not doing anything? I don't know. I can't answer that. That's not under my watch. A lot has to happen. If this convergence keeps swelling up, Russia says, I'm behind Iran. Iran doing their thing. This convergence could go into a full war, World War III, with multiple participation from enemies of Israel. Let me say it like this: enemies of God. The rapture takes place, the tribulation starts, the battle of Armageddon ends it, the millennial reign of Christ, 1,000 years, the release of Satan for a season, his final destruction, the lake of fire, the new heavens and the new earth. There's a lot that has to happen. But one thing must happen. You and I must examine our hearts and ask ourselves the question, am I ready? If today was the day when this, as Dr. Jeremiah said, this great disappearance takes place, am I one who will be caught up together with him in the clouds? If you're not certain of that, friends, let me just ask you today, would you please slip your hand up right where you're seated? Pastor, pray for me. I'm not sure that I've done what I need to do. I just want to make ready myself today. Raise your hand right where you are. If you want to prepare your heart today, raise your hand where you are. We want to pray with you. Anyone at all? Don't let me miss anyone, please. Just slip your hand up where you are. Pastor, pray for me. Why don't you ask your neighbor? Just, you're not going to offend them. I don't want to offend anybody, but you let them go to hell. I mean, come on, guys, wake up. Why don't you turn to your neighbor and say, are you sure you're ready? Come on, just turn to him. Turn to your right, to your left. Are you ready? Are you prepared? And then if they're not, why don't you just take their hand and say, come on, I'll go with you. I'll go with you today. Let's stand together, would you? Just stand together. If you've got somebody that you're bringing down, just bring them on down and let's pray together with them. Let's rejoice that another name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life today. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, we come before you today, God, with a great sense of gratitude in our hearts. That there is a season of peace that is coming to this earth. Much has to happen before that, but you have made preparation. This is your story, Lord. This is your book. We're just in it. And Lord, thank you that you've redeemed us. Thank you, God, those of us that have prepared ourselves. Our names are recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you, Lord, give us the strength and the grace and the power to live for you every day we live. Help us, God, to be found worthy to be called a Christian. Help us to be found worthy. May the words of our mouth and the meditations of our hearts be found acceptable in thy sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Come on, give him praise, church. May the words of my mouth, may the things I do, may the things I say bring glory and honor to your name. I'm going to ask you, if you have a special need in your life, in your body, in your health, in your home, in your marriage, in your family, if you have a special need, would you come at this time? We'd like to pray with you. Just step out of your seat and come to the altar. We'd love the chance to pray with you today. Thank you, Jesus.
Come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus. And oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was born.
Amen. Let's just give God a wave offering. Let's give him a wave offering. Hallelujah. Oh, we worship you, Lord God. We thank you, God. We thank you for your word, Lord. And thank you for the man of God that brought forth your word. It is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Lord, I ask that your spirit move amongst your people, Lord. As we leave this place, Lord, but not your presence, God. We thank you for your word that lets us know we have the victory. In spite of the way things look, Lord God, we know how the story ends, that we have victory. And Lord, I pray for your people today that we will walk out in victory this week, in victory as we go to our homes, in victory as we go to our jobs. And we thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, we give you the glory, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Give God a hand clap of praise. Go out with a shout. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. We bless you, God. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
One more time, praise.